Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And original Christianity is restoring, first of all, and understanding the teachings of Jesus Christ, understanding the Bible, understanding what God expects of us. Now, we've been going through several segments here on many are called, but few are chosen. How does God choose? Obviously, the call goes out. Why do not many respond? Well, it's just like during Jesus' day. How many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands hear Jesus' message, and the hundreds who were healed? Where were they when the church began on Pentecost in 30 AD? After Jesus was resurrected from the dead and he told him, now you all go in Jerusalem and stay there until you are imbued with power from on high. And there were 120, including Jesus' mother and his brothers. After 3.5 years of preaching, that's all that there was. So that ties in with many are called, but few are chosen. One man came to Jesus and said, I'll follow you wherever you go. But first, let me go bury my father. And Jesus said, oh, here's an absentee list. I'll excuse you for now. Go bury your father. No. He was really what some people would say was obnoxious, heartless, uncaring, unfeeling, because he said to the man, let the dead bury the dead, and you come and follow me. Another case in those who have been called. In the parable of many have been called, but few have been chosen. One man said, well, I've been married. Let me take care of my marriage first, Lord. Another said, let me be excused because I have 5 pair of oxen that I've got to try. That's why Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. How does he select the few who are chosen? Well, if you truly come to Jesus, then you must answer the call. You can't come just because you're depressed. And now you're going to have your depression lifted. Oh, thank you, Lord, for lifting the depression and go on your way, like many of those who were healed but never believed Jesus. So let's come here to John 6 and verse 44. Let's see how this is done. Yes, Jesus said, all you come to me who are heavy laden and burdened down, and I will give you rest and take my yoke, for it is easy and it is light. But how do you get to the point then that you come to Jesus and then he responds to you? Well, the first thing is you must respond to God. How do you respond to God? Well, you respond to God by believing in Jesus. That's the first step. Number two, you have to believe his word. And number three, you have to believe his word to obey it. Now, the Bible is written in such a way that all of the basic important things you need to understand are easy to understand, like the Ten Commandments. Is there anything difficult to understand about those? No, indeed. Do they mean what they say? Yes, they do. Remember, God did nothing in vain. So first it begins with your response to God. That comes from hearing and believing, and then acting upon. Now, believing in Jesus is important. From this point of view, It is the basic primary thing for you to believe in and accept. Now, the Protestants have that one point right. But then how is a person selected? Because many are called and few are chosen. Let's read it here. John 6 and verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." How does God draw? It's a spiritual thing. How does God know you are seeking? Jesus says, "Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open." How do you seek? Well, you have to seek God. When through Jesus Christ you begin to seek God, God will respond to you in a spiritual way. Let's first of all see what you have to do. Let's come to Isaiah 55, because you don't come to God just as you are. Remember the old song, "Just as I am," all that sort of thing? No. God says, "You want to come to me?" You change. God says, "You want to come to me?" You believe. God says, "You want to come to me?" You obey. So let's see how that is expressed in Isaiah 55. Let's pick it up here in verse 6, Isaiah 55. "Seek the Lord while he may be found," and you can trust the prophecies in the Bible. The day is coming when Jesus won't be found. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." How can God be near when he's in heaven and Jesus is at the right hand of the throne of the Father? How does that work? Is God everywhere all the time? No. But he knows everything, can have access to knowing everything at any time he desires. Here's what you have to do, because the New Testament says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you probably heard that. And you probably heard the scripture which says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." All of those are true, but there are other things that must take place in order for the fullness of the understanding of those verses can be understood. Here's what you must do. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." You have to come to God. You have to say, "Yes, Lord, your will be done, not my will. Yes, Lord, I have to give up these things that are sin. I have to give up even my thought process to you, not to any other man." You need to have your thoughts changed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. Don't come to God and think that you can improve on God's way. Now, that's what 99% of all ministers, teachers, theologians, popes, cardinals, bishops, priests do. He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, so don't come and add your way to God's. Nor your ways my ways, says the Lord." That's why God isn't going to accept you as you are. What we're talking about here, if you forsake your way and forsake your thoughts, this is repentance. That's what God requires. How far do we have to go? How much is there to true Christianity? Well, it is a fantastic thing, because it is the plan of God so that we become the literal spirit being sons and daughters of God. So it's not some simple little formula that is given. It requires your whole life. And until you are ready for that, you won't be selected. Remember what we read? Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who's doing the will of my Father who is in heaven. Verse 9, Isaiah 55. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, if that's the case, how is there going to be a connection between God in heaven above and you on the earth? When you come to the point of forsaking your way, forsaking your thoughts, then God has a way of beginning to draw you, because God will know. Let's see what that is. Let's come clear back here to the book of Revelation, because you see, God is going to answer that prayer. Because if you truly, in sincerity, with all your heart say, God, help me. God, forgive me. God, hear my prayer. He will. And it will go to God the Father and Jesus Christ in heaven above. Now, here is a vision in Revelation, the fourth chapter, where it shows the throne of God and the four living creatures and 24 elders. Then it also shows the seven spirits of God. Have you ever heard of those? The seven spirits of God. Now, what do they do? How does that work? Because the seven spirits of God are those that God sends to those who are seeking him. Notice what Jesus says back here in Revelation 1 and verse 4. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace and peace be to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits that are before his throne. What are those seven spirits? Well, back here to Revelation 4, it tells us. Verse 5, and proceeding from the throne were lightnings and thunders and voices and seven lamps of fire, which are the seven spirits of God, were burning before the throne. Now that shows life and energy, power. These seven spirits are the power of God. Now let's see what they do. And let's see, this is how then God connects with a repentant sinner. How God responds and begins to draw. All right, let's come to Revelation, the fifth chapter. And it talks about Christ as a lamb, also as the lion of the tribe of Judah, a lamb, as having been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God that are sent into all the earth. They're constantly there, seeking out who is seeking him. God knows. God understands what's going on. Let's see when we come back here to 2 Chronicles 15 concerning the eyes of God. Now here's the same principle that we saw back in Isaiah 55. You see, now what we're going through is so important, and this is why we have church at home, see? So you can get out your Bible and you can follow right along in it. Now, if you don't have the Holy Bible in its original order, you go to the home page and you can see how to get one, because this is the most accurate word-for-word translation to help you understand God's Word from the Hebrew in the Old Testament and the Greek in the New Testament in English that is understandable for today. Now, 2 Chronicles 15. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. Now, this is one of the prophets of God. So the Spirit of God can come. Now, let's see what he says. What I want you to understand is this. It's so important to realize there is the unity of the Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And they work together. please understand this. Anyone who says the Word of God, the Old Testament, has been done away, that's not true. And if someone says that, he or she is deceived and are lying. Now, maybe they don't believe that they are lying because they're only repeating what they have been told. But let's see how all of this fits together from the book of Revelation, clear back here to the Old Testament, and God beginning to draw you. Now, verse 2. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him." Do you understand that that's true today? God is with you while you are with him. Christ is with you while you are with him. God is with you if you hear and obey. Christ is with you if you hear and obey. If you do not, then you're not with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. That's what happened with Israel. And then he said, for a long time, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. And when they turned in their trouble to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. Same way in your life, because Jesus Christ was the Lord God of the Old Testament. So if you seek him, you'll be found of him. Now let's come across the page to 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. And let's see how this ties in with what we read in the book of Revelation. Verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro in all the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. So God knows. What is a perfect heart? Do you know what that is? Well, let's come back here to the book of Isaiah again, chapter 66. And let's see how God looks to the heart. He looks to repentance. He looks to turning from sin. God wants you to do that. God wants to help you, but you have to come to him. Today, you look at all religions, and what do they have? Temples, beautiful things to catch the lust of the eye and the lust of the heart and the lust of the mind. And everyone wants to do a work for God. Here's what God says, Isaiah 66 and verse 1. This tells us a lot about God, that he's not concerned with the big physical things that are in the world. He's concerned with you. He is not concerned what great works that men can do. He's concerned, do you love me and believe me? Verse 1, thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where then is the house you will build for me, and where is the place of my rest? What are you going to do for me? Nothing. Isn't God greater than everything that all people put together could do? Yes, indeed. For all these things my hand has made, and these things came to be, says the Lord, but to this one will I look, to him who is of a poor and contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Is that what you want to do? Do you love God? Do you fear to disobey him? Well, you're starting. You're on the right track. So God doesn't care for all the sacrifices, because sacrifices never change the heart. Repentance in God's Spirit does. And that's what conversion and answering the call of God is all about, and showing to whom he will choose. So let's read it here. Verse 3, he who kills an ox as if he killed a man, he who sacrifices a lamb as if he broke a dog's neck, he who offers a grain offering as if he offered swine's blood, he who burns incense as if he blessed an idol, yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations. That's why you've got to repent. You see? God isn't going to choose anybody who does not repent and does not forsake his way and forsake his thoughts. So there must be the repentance. Otherwise, notice what will happen. Now notice, this is going to happen to the whole world. Verse 4, I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, no one answered. Are you willing to answer the call of God? Are you willing to yield to God? Are you willing to have a contrite heart and a humble spirit? But they did choose evil before my eyes and chose that in which I did not delight. What does God delight in? Those things that are good. Those things that are right. So that's how God draws you. Now let's come back here to John 6, verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. That has to be a spiritual thing. The seven spirits of God are there to do that work, to answer those prayers. So when you have a conviction of heart and mind, God recognizes that, and he will begin to choose. Now, are you willing to answer? Now let's come to Romans, the second chapter, and let's see what God will do then. Here again, God looks down, and there is the dividing line. Right and wrong, good and evil. Those who are seeking God, those who are following Satan, the devil, and seeking their own ways and their own abominations. It is God who leads you to repentance. So when God begins drawing you, he's going to lead you to repentance. And repentance means you recognize that your way is wrong. You recognize that you have transgressed the commandments of God. You have recognized that you have rejected the truth of God. And now your life is in a mess. And God is using that to draw you to him if you will. Romans 2 and verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his kindness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the graciousness of God leads you to repentance? So is God working in your life? Now what you have to do, this case then, you have to go to a quiet, private place like Jesus said. Get on your knees. Use the Word of God to help you study. Use the Word of God to help you pray. Cry out to God. God, forgive me my sin. You confess your sins to him, not to a priest, because only God, who is righteous, can forgive your sins against God. A priest can't forgive your sins against God. He himself is sinful. You know, it's like the man who went into the confession booth, and a priest came in and he said, my son, how may I help you? What is your confession today? And the man said, well, priest, let's start with yours first. See, because only God can forgive sin, and that's only through Jesus Christ. So this is how God begins to draw and begins to choose. So you come to God. That's what's important. You learn of his ways. That's what's needed. So all the things that I have mentioned, the various books and the different things that I have suggested that you download or you order, will provide to you without cost. And so that you can come to know God. You can come to know the truth. You can understand these things, because it is the truth that will set you free from your sins. And it is God the Father, through Jesus Christ, who alone can forgive sin. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and go to our other website, cbcg.org, and there we have thousands of sermons, hundreds of things for you to study, so you can grow in grace and knowledge and learn of God in this time and this age where we have now the greatest knowledge of God that we have ever had. So until next time, so long, everyone.